Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Adam Vingan from The Athletic joining us at 8:30. We'll get into the expansion draft and all things Nashville Predators coming up with him later this hour. David Ubbin from The Athletic at 9 o'clock to talk all things Tennessee Volunteers. And Drake Hills from The Tennessean stopping by at 9:30 to discuss the latest on Nashville SC. Nashville SC with a game tonight as well, taking on Columbus. So looking forward to those conversations coming up throughout the remainder of the show. Right now I'm about to get into the expansion draft, which takes place tonight. But before we do, we have to go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Keith texting in, and Keith came up with the Jodavion Rexcroak name that we have grown so fond of here on the show. There's a new name for you now, Joe. After Giannis wins the championship last night, Joe Giannis and Rex and Coop Road. What do you think of that one?
I love it.
I mean, this could be the final day, depending on what happens in the expansion draft, for Jadeveon Rexcroak. Jadeveon Clowney, already gone. Cali Yarncroak, he's at least, I think, a very viable option for the Seattle Kraken today in the expansion draft. So it may be time to come up with a new name.
That's very good, Keith. Keith, is you've got a way with letters and words. Hey, I got to go to my, before we get into the Preds, got to go to my personal text line.
Okay.
Our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mine, not driven by, driven by anger and jealousy from Jared Stillman.
Okay.
So Stillman, we'll have to get into this another day, but this he's jumped on the Delaney Walker Hall of Fame thing, and, you know. Like
Eddie, he actually thinks Delaney Walker's a Hall of Famer?
I believe he said that he may be a Hall of Famer if his career happened in Dallas, which is,
it's absurd.
Inane.
Yeah.
But also he says that Eddie George would be a Hall of Famer if his career was in Dallas, which I completely disagree with. But Eddie George retweeted it. So Stillman tweeted that segment out today, and Eddie, so by Jared's rationale, this means it's right, I guess, cuz Eddie agrees with it?
I guess so.
I sent him an all caps breaking athlete agrees that he got hosed.
I mean, when did Eddie George retweet this? Because I'm on his Twitter right now, and there's no Jared Stillman retweet.
Are you telling me that Jared put together like a Photoshop of it to make it look like he retweeted? I don't know. I mean, according to this, see, it's got the little retweet thing, and then it's got
I'm just telling you on his page. I don't see it.
But again, like, I mean, Jared, you could get Delaney Walker to agree with you too if you think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, you could probably find that. I don't know that does a lot of validating. But anyway, on to the Preds.
The expansion draft finally is here. No more talk about what they could do, what they should do, who they should protect, who they should not protect. All of that is sorted out tonight with Seattle Kraken officially becoming a part of the National Hockey League. The expansion draft taking place tonight, I believe it's 7 o'clock. Is when it starts tonight. So the day has finally come. We've spent so much time talking about the expansion draft, the different options on the table for the Predators. Obviously, we know the protected list now. Janot, Forsberg, and Cunnan at the forward group. Myers, Carrier, Yossi, Ekholm, Fabro protected on defense. And obviously, UC Saros protected as well. That leaves Johansson exposed, Duchesne exposed, Cali Yarncroak exposed, Colton Sissons exposed. And as we learned the other day, Yakov Trenin exposed as well. So we'll see what happens on that front. Going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth tonight if Yakov Trenin gets selected.
Oh, boy.
Be a fun
the
show
future
tomorrow.
Of the franchise hangs in the balance.
Be a fun show tomorrow. Well, my question to you is this. We've seen Victor Arvidsson be traded. We've seen Ryan Ellis be traded. It's obvious the group is going to look different this year. It's going to look even more different after tonight. How big a deal is the expansion draft outcome for the Predators today? How big of a deal is this in determining what the next few years are going to look like for the Nashville Predators? And I guess my question is, if it's not Johansson or Duchesne, is it really that much of a big deal at all? Because that, to me, is the only way this is a pretty big deal, is if one of Johansson or Duchesne are selected tonight in the expansion draft.
Well, yeah. I guess, though, it's a big deal. It's a big bad deal if they aren't.
Sure.
So, but yeah, the major change only happens, and there's been major change, but the this idea of really kind of reforming and retooling your team only happens if one of them is taken tonight, I think.
I would say so. I mean,
just by the math.
We've had a couple people the last couple of days ask us about, well, what about trading Ryan Johansson? I don't think anybody's trading for Ryan Johansson at that contract. I just don't. He's got 4 years left at $8 million per year. I think he's a good player. I think he's been more consistent than Matt Duchene has been. Like, certainly in the playoffs, Johansson's got enough body of work in the playoffs at this point where you know he's going to play pretty well. And there's value to that. But in a flat cap, with the production in the regular season just not really being there, I just don't know that Johansson, you can trade that contract without eating some of it. So, and Matt Duchene, you can't trade that contract. I can just go ahead and tell you. So, to me, tonight kind of feels like the last chance to move one of those two guys. Because after that, I feel like you're stuck. I mean, unless one of those two bounces back this year, and let's say Johansson has a big year and he puts up 65 points, you know, he's 15 goals, 50 assists, and 65 points, which he's had a season pretty much exactly like that before here in Nashville. Let's say he gets back to that. All right, at that point, do you trade him or do you keep him and say, okay, well, he's figured it out. He was worth the $8 million this last year. Like, to me, this kind of feels like if you're getting out from underneath one of these contracts, today is the last day you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, and I will say the more as we get closer and closer to it, I said this yesterday, but it's a little bit increasing sentiment in my head is like, you know,
a growing sense.
There's a growing sense in my brain that Ryan Johansson wears number 92. No, that Ryan Johansson being picked could be, a mistake. It could be a bad thing for the Preds, and maybe I'm, give him too much benefit of the doubt after two pretty bad regular seasons, but he does show up in the playoffs. He does do a lot for you. He's not so old that he couldn't get back to being more productive in the regular season. And I could see, like, I disagree. Like, Bob, tweeted us yesterday, like, there's no chance they don't take. I think there's a lot of chance they don't take Johansson.
Oh, I think there's a greater than 50% chance they don't take Johansson.
But I think there's a solid chance they do. And Duchene is, I don't see without giving so much away on top of it how they would take him. You know, Todd M. on Twitter last night tweeted at me and said, I would consider it Poyle's biggest blunder if they end up losing Johansson out of this. And that's I would disagree with that.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I would disagree with that. But it could be, like, you could make the case through this whole thing. I mean, my gosh, Tanner Jeannot was protected. You could make the case, protect Johansson. You're going to have to – I mean, a lot of what's coming for the Preds is, hey, buddy, really hope you find your best hockey again. And that's going to happen. John Hines trying to get it out of these guys and all that stuff. I mean, you can make the case they should have protected Johansson and just gone all in on, like, trying to get them to take Duchene.
Yeah, I mean, you could have. I mean, I think it's certainly more likely that they take Johansson – and you don't have to give up anywhere near as much. Like, I think if they're taking Duchene, you're going to have to give up a pretty good amount. And by the way, Pierre LeBrun just tweeting out, the Kraken at this minute have not submitted their expansion draft picks. They are using all the time that is allowed. So I would imagine probably still some conversations going on between the Kraken and other teams around the league. But I would say this, like, I don't think it's crazy to suggest that Johansson gets selected tonight. The more I think about Duchene, I think it's going to take a lot. I think it's going to take a lot to get him out of here. And maybe David Poyle is willing to do that. We talked about it yesterday. Would you make the trade? Would you trade Dante Fabbro to Seattle if that meant Duchene was gone? I don't know. That's a pretty hefty price. He's a 22-year-old defenseman. He's a first-round pick. He's a guy that you still feel like is a part of your future. And if you trade him at this point, your defense core –
yeah,
I mean, it's not that good outside of Josi and Ekholm.
Right, you just lost Ellis and you would do that?
Right.
I mean, Carrier, nice story, but let's not go crazy with that stuff.
Right, exactly. So that's a hefty price to pay right now if you're the Predators. Is it worth it if you're David Poyle? And of course, the obvious question would be, is that something that Seattle even entertains? Like, is there – I mean, Ron Francis could look at David Poyle and say, hey, dude, there's not much you can offer me to get me to take Matt Duchene. So let's focus our attention on somebody else. That absolutely could happen. But if it's something like that, is that something you're willing to do if you're David Poyle? I don't know what the answer to that is, because that's a pretty hefty price to pay. But is it more of a price to pay than keeping Duchene on your roster for the next 5 years? I think you can make an argument that it's not. So that's a tough spot to be in if you're David Poyle.
So, okay, based on Pierre's tweet there then, does this mean that we're going to, like, this afternoon get leaks about their choices before we get to the draft?
I don't know that you'll get leaks.
I know the NHL sure as heck doesn't want that to happen.
Yeah, I don't know that you'll get leaks early. Now, you may get leaks while the show's going on of, 25 seconds before the pick's announced, like in the NFL draft.
That's
but I don't know that we're going to see at 3 o'clock this afternoon somebody saying, hey, Seattle's taking Ryan Johansson from the Predators. I'd be surprised if that happens.
I know, man. I bet you Russo gets it.
He might.
Russo's inside the brains of everyone in the Minnesota Wild organization.
Hiding out in bushes in Minnesota. Yeah, maybe so.
He put trackers in their blood.
That's right. We'll continue the conversation on the expansion draft when we come back and get a little bit deeper into the Matt Duchene situation. What happens moving forward from here if he's still here? How do you respond from this if you're Matt Duchene and if you're the Predators? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Nashville SC pre-match party at the Hard Rock Cafe downtown. Party before the match on Broadway and get some game swag, plus register to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Then head on over to the Nissan Stadium for the 7:30 match. Get your tickets now for Nashville SC at NashvilleSC.com and tune into the match on ESPN 94.9. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game discussing the NHL expansion draft. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan from The Athletic will join us at 8:30. So coming up here in about 12, 13 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Adam Vingan to get his thoughts on the expansion draft and all things Nashville Predators. And Johansson and Duchene, going to be a very popular topic of conversation today, Joe Rex Road. But I still find it unlikely that Matt Duchene is going to be taken tonight by the Seattle Kraken. So if he's not, and he ends up back here with the Nashville Predators, how do you make it work moving forward from here? I said yesterday on the show, I think it's pretty obvious that there's somewhat of a disconnect between him and John Hines. I don't think Duchene's been very happy with his role that he's had here, especially over this past year. And now you've gone through a process where he has been left unprotected. And who knows, there could be reports come out eventually, maybe even detailing the links that David Poyle tried to get him out of here. So how do you, at that point, if you're Matt Duchene, respond to that and try to make it work here moving forward? How, at that point, if you're the Nashville Predators, do you try to make that work here moving forward? That's an interesting sort of predicament that both sides could be in if he's stuck here for the next 5 years with this contract.
I mean, ultimately, the answer is be a professional. It's like the same thing with this whole, like, some players are mad at John Hines.
Right.
Well, boo-hoo. How much are you getting paid to skate around with a stick and try to put a puck in a net? I mean, how many people come watch you and want –
Sure.
I mean, come on. Be a pro. But what if also, like, today we get details on, like, a trade proposal that didn't work?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Like to even sweeten or souring the pot.
You've got to stop.
I don't know.
This is not good.
I don't. What's the word for that?
Sweeten the pot.
But why isn't there a word for oversouring of the pot?
I don't know. I don't know.
See, we've just seen a flaw in the English language there that we need to work on. To extra sour.
I mean,
the
souring
pot
is a word, so maybe that's it.
Right, but. But sweeten means you add sweetness.
Yes, it does.
What is it if you add sourness?
I don't know.
You see how this should, this is a problem.
Yeah, we got to figure it out.
All right. So anyway, you add that to, like this. Now he knows not only did you leave him unprotected, but, man, you were really motivated to get him out of here. I mean, right now, that's just speculation. We've been speculating for weeks. What would you have to do? You'd have to, you know, would you trade Fabo? Would you do this or that? If you actually, if you're him and you actually knew that, I mean, it's an ego hit for sure.
But is there not, like, some dose of realism you've got to have if you're Matt Duchene in this process, though? I mean, you know, you've been here for 2 years. And I realize that point production is not everything, but it's not been close to what you've needed it to be, what you've expected it to be, and what they paid it or paid you for it to be. So I can't imagine in a world where you're living with any dose of reality, this is that big of a shock that you're unprotected if you're Matt Duchene.
Except, and we had him weekly.
We did.
And he has revealed some injuries that were not previously reported. He's talked about bad luck, and that, to me, like, there's a shelf life on how long bad luck can be a conversation piece in something like this. But if we had him right now, I bet you he would lay it out how this and this and this happened, and then, by the way, if it was truth serum, so you're not worried about, like, offending the coach, oh, by the way, how much have I been moved around, and why would you ever take me off the power play, and then look at how I responded to that. And it's been 2 years, and people should not be giving up on me right now. He is a 45-point-a-game player, which isn't good. It's not disastrously bad. It's just that, like, this year, what did he have, 3 goals before that last game? I mean, that's where it's like, how does that happen? But I would bet you that Matt Duchene could make a pretty strong case for why that would be a mistake to let him go right now. Not saying he's right, but he would make the case.
Matt from Camden on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Is there not a way to restructure Duchene's deal? I mean, if I was making X amount of dollars at my job and underperforming, my pay would be decreased. Can the Preds not do the same thing since he isn't living up to the contract? No.
Nope.
They cannot. They owe him every cent of that contract.
They can buy him out.
And they still owe him every cent of the contract.
They can buy him out and just keep adding to the list of – it's like Tennessee football. It's like Tennessee athletics.
Yeah.
How many different people can we pay millions to not work for us?
Look, I mean, Matt Duchene, I hear you, and I'm sure there are two sides to this. I don't know that Matt Duchene has all the time been utilized correctly here. I think there have been times where he probably hasn't been, and I'm sure that's a factor into why his production hasn't been as high as it's needed to be. There have also just been times where he's not played well, and that's been a part of the story here in Nashville. So, honestly, like, if I'm the Predators, I'm not really concerned with hurting Matt Duchene's feelings at this point. I mean, you've been here for 2 years. You've already been paid $16 million, and the production's not been there. And let's be honest, as you get towards the back half of this contract, we knew this when he signed. The production's not going to be the same anyway. I mean, he's already on the wrong side of 30. So if the production's not there in the first couple of years, just imagine what we're going to be talking about 2 years from now if this continues on this track. So I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for Matt Duchene in this conversation. I've enjoyed talking to him. He's a great guy, and I think he's genuinely liked in that locker room. But at some point, you've got to produce. That's what this business is about. If I'm the Predators, I'm not really all that worried about hurting Matt Duchene's feelings in this process. Play better, and you don't have to worry about this, that you would have been protected, and there would be no questions asked. He's put himself to a degree in this position.
So I look at, like, Victor Arvidsson in particular, and I know some of it is just, will your body cooperate, and do you get some good luck and not take a nasty hit that really derails you? But I feel like Victor Arvidsson is a guy who's going to respond. I would not be surprised at all if Victor Arvidsson has a couple big seasons with LA, and that he is driven by what just happened. And that's what the Preds have to hope, like, that's Duchene's response. Not that he's, you know, not that this is necessarily some indication of lack of work or anything like that, but that he just has an extra edge to him through this. And even if it's, you know, even if you got, like, a David Poyle dartboard in your basement or whatever, you know, use that as motivation to prove yourself more. Because this town, and you think about Preds fans and Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
The absolute, the coveted white whale for so long.
Right. That has changed.
That has changed.
Let's go back.
Even on Facebook, they've actually kept up with what's been going on with the team.
They have. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texting in. So if we do end up losing Johansson, would you make Duchene the first line center? I honestly thought he played better on the wing anyways, and Granlund has killed it under John Hines. Obviously, I think you will just go with Johansson if you're picking between the two if you're Seattle. I just don't think the Predators can't give up what Seattle will want if we give them Duchene. Also, Brian saying, who needs to take college English classes when you have Robbie and Rexroad every morning teaching you? Hashtag sour the pot.
Sour in the pot. Sourish?
Sourish. Melissa on Twitter says poison instead of sweeten. So just completely remove the sour word and just say poison.
Poison? We're not trying to kill people here. It's taken a dark turn.
I'm just passing the message along.
I think it's weird that you can say sweeten and you can't say sourin.
Maybe souring. Souring the pot.
Yeah. Well, but that's sweetening.
Yeah, right. Which a lot of people use that for that phrase anyway.
But I guess sour is the verb. Sour the pot.
Wow, this really is a college English class.
Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
But I think sweeten is a nice job of distinguishing like verb from adjective.
We found a flaw in the English language.
Anyway.
Let's go back to the text line.
Let's not poison anyone.
Mike texting in. On the protection list, I saw the Predators protected 9 players. Most other teams protected more. Were there not specific rules?
Yep, there are rules.
You can do 8 skaters and 1 goalie, or you could go 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie. Predators did not feel like they had 7 forwards worthy of protection, so they protected 5 defensemen, so you had to go the 8 skater route, which means at the end of the day, you ended up protecting 1 less player.
And, you know, if Tanner Jeannot is one of your protected forwards,
that's an indictment on the rest of the forwards.
There you go.
By the way, it looks like Seattle is about to make a move even before the draft. The early word, this coming from Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff. It looks like Adam Larson, formerly of the Edmonton Oilers, and Jamie Oleksiak, formerly of the Dallas Stars, could be making their way to Seattle. Not finalized, but barring any last-minute change, the expectation is, if I could read, those players will be the selections from the Oilers and from the Stars. So it looks like they could be adding Adam Larsman on defense and Jamie Oleksiak on defense as well.
So you're telling me we're not going to get a bunch of leaks before this show tonight?
I don't know.
We might.
Those two guys are both unrestricted free agents heading to be. That would be like if Seattle wanted Granlund and they were able to convince him to sign a contract.
Right.
You would get that today.
Speaking of which, on the texter, you know, you're asking about Duchene being the first center, and then you're talking about Granlund like he's part of the team. I mean, he's not.
Right.
And that's the thing. Any answer after this on how it will look, the next question is, are they going to be able to sign Granlund? I think no matter how this turns out, that's essential.
When we come back, we will be joined by Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll get into the expansion draft and all things Nashville Predators with him. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The NHL expansion draft finally is taking place tonight. And to help us talk about that and all things Nashville Predators, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Oh, it's a monumental day. It's hopefully the last day I have to answer expansion draft questions for at least another 4 years.
Hopefully so.
You're going to miss it.
He's going to miss it a little bit.
No, I'm not.
Come on.
Big day for Adam Vingan here on the show. So let's go ahead and get it out of the way. Let's start there. The expansion draft taking place tonight. We've now seen the protected list for the Nashville Predators as well. Who is the most likely member of the Predators to be selected tonight by the Kraken, in your opinion?
Well, I can tell you what Las Vegas thinks, because we got this email yesterday with the odds of which players are most likely to least likely to be selected by the Seattle Kraken. And at the top of the list, with 1 to 10 odds, Cali Yarncroke. So, you know, to me, that seems like the most logical selection if you are the Seattle Kraken. And we've gone over the reasons. We know the reasons. You know, Cali is an incredibly versatile forward. He can play all three forward positions. He can play on all four forward lines. He can play on the power play. He can play on the penalty kill. You can trust him defensively. And most importantly, he's under contract for one season with a $2 million cap hit. So, you know, to me, I can't think of a reason why the Seattle Kraken would not just take Cali Yarncroke and be done with it. But, you know, to me, I'm not a betting man, but Vegas thinks it's almost a lock that Cali Yarncroke could end up with the Seattle Kraken tonight.
1 to 10. Man.
1 to 10.
That's quite the...
Who's next?
Okay, so the top three, all of whom have 1 to 10 odds, are Cali Yarncroke, Kaapo Kakkonen, the goaltender from the Minnesota Wild, and Troy Stetcher, the defenseman from the Detroit Red Wings. All have 1 to 10 odds.
So who on the Preds, of Preds, if there are others listed, who has the next best odds?
Well, you're going to have to vamp while I go back through my email and find it.
All right, that's no big deal.
Why don't you ask me another... Ask me another question.
Okay.
Okay. Here, I got it. Actually, I got it.
See, you're fast.
Let's see. I'm typing in Nashville. Okay, who's next? Matt Duchene at 7 to 1.
Wow.
And Ryan Johansson at 7 to 1. Then Nick Cousins at 10 to 1.
Wow.
So
okay.
So Vegas doesn't recognize the existence of Colton Sissons? This is a Vegas
nor
fail.
Nor does it recognize the existence of Yakov Trenin. But just to give you some other odds of notable players, Vladimir Tarasenko, 2 to 5. James Van Riemsdyk, 1 to 2. Yanni Gourde, 1 to 3. Max Domi, 1 to 1. Dougie Hamilton, 2 to 1. Carey Price, 3 to 1. So that just get PK Subban, 4 to 1. So there are some of your odds according to Vegas.
There you go.
Hadn't thought about Subban. Okay, is there any chance? Well, give me, for both guys, percentage chance in your mind that a deal can be struck for Seattle to take Duchene or Johansson with each guy, your percentage chance.
Okay, so each, so not both guys, but each guy.
Each guy individually.
And we're just doing straight percentages?
Yes, this is very serious math.
I'll say there's a 30% chance for Johansson and a 15% chance for Duchene.
There you go.
That's actually that might be higher than I would go on either. I think certainly with Duchene, 15%. That's
so you're telling me there's a chance.
I mean that's I think rather optimistic. So I know
that margin of error wiggle room.
This could be
just in case something happens.
Apparently, the rest of this interview is going to be with Joe Rex.
Yeah, go I'm ahead. Sorry. I know. I'm sorry. All right, one more, and I turn it back to Robbie. The idea of Fabro being part of a package for them to take Duchene, would you do that or not?
It reminds me a lot of what the Golden Knights did in 2017, or more specifically, the Anaheim Ducks did when they traded Shea Theodore to the Golden Knights to ensure that Vegas took Clayton Stoner, who never played a game for them. Theodore then and Fabro now are in very similar situations in terms of their age and experience, contract situations. I think at the time, Theodore was at the end of his entry-level contract, just as Fabro is currently at the end of his entry-level contract. So, yeah, I mean, I think if if a roster player were to be traded as part of a larger package, I mean, I think Favreau would certainly be of interest to Seattle as a younger player with top four experience under team control. I'm not sure I would do that if I were the Predators, but I would not be shocked if Seattle would be very interested in his services.
So, no.
No. I have a hard time, in general, I have a hard time picturing a deal coming together involving one of Matt Duchene or Ryan Johansson. Then again, I was skeptical for months that the Predators would trade Ryan Ellis, and they did. So there you go.
Adam Bingen from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And speaking of that, Ryan Ellis traded to the Philadelphia Flyers. What did you think of the trade? How surprised were you that David Poile pulled the trigger on the trade for Ryan Ellis? And what did you make of the return with Cody Glass and Philip Myers coming back this way as well?
I was surprised. I know that Ryan's name had been in the rumor mill near the trade deadline. But I just had this feeling that David would not part with Ryan Ellis just because of how beloved he was by David. So when I caught wind of the trade, my first reaction was a bit of shock. Not as shocked as I was when they traded Shea Weber, but certainly I'm surprised that they did this. I'm surprised that they actually pulled it off. The return, I think it's fine. You know, Philip Myers probably projects to be, you know, a solid second pairing defenseman, which is fine. Cody Glass is who intrigued me more, just because of his pedigree. He had some significant knee injuries that basically cost him a year of hockey. You know, last season he was, you know, to use the phrase popularized by Pierre Laviolette, was trying to catch a moving train, for most of the season after coming back from, you know, significant knee injury. But the Predators have not been bad enough in their history to pick a number six in the draft very often. So if they can, you know, reclamation projects are always risky, but he's 22 years old. He's still on his entry-level contract. There's a lot to like. And especially if one of those high-priced centers is taken or if Mikhail Granlund doesn't return. I mean, I would not be shocked if Cody Glass is a candidate to play second-line center. I'm very intrigued by what they could, what he could provide for them.
So with that in mind, we heard from David Poile the other day, and some of this is going to continue to be answered tonight in the expansion draft, but he threw out the term competitive rebuild, and that's obviously generated a lot of conversation among Predators fans since then. So as you view the offseason, the moves that have been made so far, obviously still more moves to come, and we don't know the complete picture. How do you kind of describe where this Predators team is right now as they head into the expansion draft tonight, with the roster being what it is at the moment? How would you describe exactly where this team is?
Well, first of all, when I heard that term, I sent a message to my colleagues through our Slack channel and saying, has anybody ever heard the term competitive rebuild or had a team that went through what could be called a competitive rebuild? And my editor sent me a link to an article from 4 or 5 years ago involving the New York Jets, because I guess their GM at one point used the term competitive rebuild.
Oh, goody.
And my first thought was, if there is one sports franchise that I would not want to be compared to, it would be the New York Jets.
Yeah.
They would certainly be near the bottom of my list if you're putting all of the big four teams on a list of, you know, ones you want to emulate. But when I look at this roster as it currently is, you know, it reminds me a lot of that poll I did last month, you know, when I asked ideally how the Predators should approach this offseason. And one of the choices that I had was what I call the soft reset. And how I described that was tweaking the core and filling roster holes with prospects. And the majority of Predators fans who participated in that survey overwhelmingly chose soft reset as how they should ideally approach the offseason. And I think that's what you're seeing. They tweaked the core. They traded Victor Arvidsson. They traded Ryan Ellis. Pekka Rinne has retired. And, you know, to me, I think you look at all that cap space they have, and, you know, you might be licking your chops a little bit about what they could do. I think the last thing they should do is just go out and sign or trade for a, you know, a big player with a huge cap hit. You know, I think they should use a lot of that money to re-sign their own, UC Saros, Dante Fabro, Ellie Tolvanen, you know, Mikhail Granlund, maybe Eric Halla, and then, you know, hold on to it, you know, because cap space is going to be at a premium for the next couple of years as this cap remains flat. But you've got Philip Myers now, he's 24. You've got Cody Glass, he's 22. You've got, you know, the potential of Philip Tomasino, who I think is about to turn 20. And you've got Ellie Tolvanen, who's in his early 20s, and Dante Fabro and Jeremy Davies and Tanner Jeannot, who are all in their early to mid-20s. You know, go in on the youth. Go all in on the youth. See what you have. And then if you need to make more changes, do so. But, you know, I think that the time for this team to chase, you know, high-priced free agents or trade for, you know, huge players, I don't think they need to do that. I think that would run counter to what they're actually trying to do.
Okay, so in that scenario, does that team make the playoffs, and do Philip Forsberg and Matthias Ekholm sign up to be part of that longer than their current deals?
I'm far less concerned about Matthias Ekholm than I am about Ryan. About Philip Forsberg. You know, Matthias Ekholm is in a different place in his career. He's 31 years old. He's got two young kids. You know, he is incredibly important to this team. I do not foresee Matthias Ekholm, you know, prolonging negotiations and trying to find a way out. Philip Forsberg, to me, is the question. You know, because Philip Forsberg is still in the prime of his career, and he's got a big payday, he hopes, coming up. You know, do you want to sign long-term to something like this? And I think that's a legitimate question that Philip Forsberg needs to ask himself. So, to answer your first question, does that team make the playoffs? I think they're in the mix. I think they could be a wild card team if everything breaks right, you know, but I would not be surprised if they missed the playoffs for the first time since 2014. But when it comes to Ekholm, I'm not concerned about that. I'm a lot more concerned about Philip Forsberg than I would be Matthias Ekholm.
Adam Vinyan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, great stuff as always. I hope you thoroughly enjoy the expansion draft tonight. Should be a good time.
Well, when the what's the next city that's going to get an expansion franchise, you think?
I have no clue. Quebec City.
Quebec City,
yeah.
Finally?
Yeah.
Mm. So when the Quebec Nordiques are reborn in 2026, y'all can ask me who's exempt then.
We'll do that. Maybe starting in 2024.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. It'll be a good time. We're looking forward to that day coming up here on the show. Adam, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right, man. Bye. Adam Vinyan from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Adam had to say. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to as well on the Nashville Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Later this morning, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game tonight, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Make sure you're tuning in at 9:45 today for your opportunity to participate in NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Going to have David Ubben from The Athletic joining us at 9 o'clock to get into all things Tennessee Volunteers football. So looking forward to that coming up at 9 o'clock. Right now, talking Nashville Predators and the expansion draft. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Trevor texting in on the text line. Good morning, guys. Could you see David Poile making a big trade with Seattle after the expansion draft today? I would not discount the possibility of a trade after the expansion draft, but the question is, what is a big trade? Like, if Seattle at this point today is not taking Duchesne and or Johansson off your hands with whatever offer you're throwing out there today, that's probably not going to change all that much moving forward in the next few days and weeks. So
right,
feels like with the big moves there, it's going to be today or it's probably not going to happen at all, would be my guess.
Yep, I would agree.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike from Montana texting in, NHL.com had Johansson being taken by Seattle because of the lack of good centers in the expansion draft. If that happens, is Duchesne our number one center to start the year? What do you think?
Maybe.
Is it? Can they sign Granlund at that point and put him as number one center? Is Duchesne just automatically the number one guy?
I think the plan
is Cody Glass the number one center.
I mean, hey, youth movement, make it a movement. If Johansson were to go tonight, I mean, I'll be very interested in the reaction from Preds fans because we've kind of lumped those two guys together throughout this process.
And they are together in the fact that they are both making the same amount of money and they are underperforming.
Yes.
They are underperforming, in my opinion, at two different levels.
Exactly. And I think that there's just more reason for optimism with 92. So if Johansson does end up getting selected, I'll be interested to see if there's some, you know, it's almost like buyer's remorse from Preds fans in the wake of that. Because I've thought about that last couple of days. Like, that could go poorly. And that's a great question. So it's Duchesne, and you don't know if you're signing Granlund. So what are you down the middle all of a sudden?
Well, just think about how difficult it has been to draft, trade for, develop, whatever way you want to cut it, sign a center, a top level center with this team, with this franchise. Ryan Johansson is the best centerman they've ever had. I go through the history of their franchise. Jason Arnott was here for a little while. He had a great season scoring goals. All around, Jason Arnott at that point, I mean, he was skating in quicksand on the defensive side. Ryan Johansson is the best centerman they've ever had. So think about that. Yes, he has been underwhelming the last couple of years. But doesn't that just kind of illustrate how difficult it's been for them to find somebody at that spot to produce, and then you just let him walk out the door and lose him for nothing? I'm not saying that it's the worst thing that could happen, because I don't think it's the worst thing that can happen. I'm just saying it's been pretty difficult for this franchise to find some top-level centers. And who knows when you're going to find that next one. Maybe Cody Glass is it, but maybe he's not. And then you're just continually in a search for a top centerman at that point.
Right. And then let's say you don't sign Granlund. You aren't able to sign Granlund. Someone else catches his eye, and, I mean, everybody has the same opportunity to sign him right now. So then, all of a sudden, down the middle, Duchesne, who John Hines has kind of preferred, I mean, at the wing a lot, and certainly more recently, and, you know, that's also partially because he had Johansson and Granlund playing so well at center. But now you're talking about Duchesne, Glass, I mean, you know, I guess
Eric Halla.
Tomasino, third line center or something, maybe
he's
a star.
He's mainly been on the wing, though. I mean, I don't know. I think they see him more as a winger at the NHL level. I don't know. It'd be an interesting spot at that point, especially if you can't sign Granlund. Like,
you are very different.
You are very different heading into next year. Let's go back to the text line. Frank texting in, the Duchesne problem is a shared one between an underperforming player and a coach who is not willing to adjust his style. You can't have a top player getting 17 minutes a game. Hines needs to show some give, and Duchesne needs to stop whining. What do you think about that from Frank? How maybe there's fault on both sides, the coaching staff and Matt Duchesne as well.
I don't know how much Duchesne has been whining. It just there's been some kind of obvious moments that, you know, they haven't seen eye to eye on that thing. I think that, especially if you're on the Duchesne side, if you're in the Duchesne camp, you're going to point at things and say, if I was used differently and I signed up to play for Laviolette and, you know, we had a plan. Now, let's also remember that after a great couple weeks to start his season with Laviolette, it went, you know, it faded pretty quickly.
Quickly.
But, hey, I agree that John Hines, coach of the team, he's got to figure out, the coach's job is to put players in the best position to succeed.
Right.
So it is I agree that it's a shared responsibility when Duchesne comes back inevitably next season.
April on the text line. I'll be heartbroken if Joey goes. I know he's underperforming, but he does a lot of good things that don't show up on the scoreboard. He always shows up in the playoffs, and last year was a weird year. I'm hoping he stays and has a great year. Like Ryan Johansson with Predators fans at this moment, for the most part, viewed differently than Matt Duchene. I think there are some that just want either one of them. We don't care who you take, whether it's Johansson or Duchene. Just get them out of here. We don't care. Yep. Get the money off the books.
Like you said, same number.
Right. So there are a lot of Predators fans that feel that way. But I do think of the two, there's a lot more, I guess, patience with Johansson based on the way he played in the playoffs and how he played coming down the stretch for this team. I think Matt Duchene's in a rough spot right now with this fan base. Just based on how it's gone the first couple of years.
Even with his own some good moments in that postseason. I mean, the overtime game winner against Carolina was
awesome.
It was a fantastic play. That was one of those that, of course, leaves you wanting more too. But still, I agree. I think Johansson, and maybe it's the history too. I mean, Johansson was here for the best hockey the Preds have played, and he was great.
Right.
And they haven't seen that from Duchene. And Duchene's career is not really his fault that he's been on a lot of bad teams. But there hasn't been a lot of postseason, you know, evidence of him rising to the occasion. He definitely did for Columbus 2 years ago.
We'll continue to take your thoughts all show long on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you think about the expansion draft coming up tonight for Seattle? Who gets selected from the Nashville Predators by the Kraken? We'll continue to react to that throughout the show. When we come back, though, we'll switch gears and be joined by David Ubben from The Athletic. Tennessee was at SEC Media Days yesterday. What stood out from Josh Heupel? What do we make of this team now just a few weeks away from fall camp coming around with college football season? We'll get into that with David coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.